Okay, with us is Chris Hansen, True Blue Media, as we have talked every week about the sting operation that was conducted in the Gwynn area. And good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Jack. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. And, you know, I'll start this interview, Chris, by asking you to kind of reflect kind of a big picture on what maybe struck you about this particular sting. You've done so many of them over the years. I'm wondering if this, you know, this is the first time this has happened on this scale in Marquette. What struck you? What stood out for you in this entire, you know, operation?
Well, I think what sticks out to me in this operation that we did in Marquette is that this sort of activity takes place in every part of the country, big cities, small cities, idyllic lakefront, wonderful places like Marquette. It's everywhere. And it's because of the ubiquitous nature of the internet and the fact that there are so many platforms upon which adults can reach out to children. And anyone who, you know, desires to do this is only a few keystrokes away or a few taps on a cell phone from reaching out and trying to make this happen. So I think what, you know, the sheriff's office up there in Marquette, Sheriff Greg Zybert and his team, as well as our team, you know, were able to show in this is that it happens anywhere, even in the beautiful pastoral lakefront community of Marquette, Michigan. And we saw men ranging in age from 18 to 68 show up in our sting. And it highlights how vigilant everybody has to be with their children and grandchildren in terms of establishing this dialogue and this awareness so kids know. And obviously, Marquette, you were able to see tragically firsthand what can happen in these sextortion cases, which is another story we're working on when we profile the case that took place tragically up there about a year ago. So again, no place is immune when it comes to the internet and predators who try to exploit it.
Do we have any idea of how widespread this is? For example, there could have been, I'm sure there were, some people who went into this chat and smelled a rat and didn't, you know, did not show up at your sex house.
I think you're right. And, you know, we just finished this thing down in Florida where, there were, you know, guys were reaching out thinking they were talking to, a mother who was exploiting their young child, their teenage child. And if this is a scenario that men are attracted to during a sting operation, it says to me, and it says to the investigators involved, that this is a scenario that's taking place in real life. So, yes, I'm sure that people are suspicious that it might be the Marquette County Sheriff's Office and you know, Sheriff Zybert's team. People are suspicious that it might be me and my team, and they talk about this in the chat, but the compulsion, the need to fulfill this desire for certain men is going to blind them to the risks involved, and you see them show up. I mean, here's a guy in this next and last episode from our Marquette sting who's 68 years old, a truck driver, who had, you know, two licensed handguns. Now, he didn't bring them with him to the sting house, but he had them, and we had to be very careful and aware because the sheriff's department had done some background checks and knew that this was a possibility, that he had these two registered handguns. So he had to be very careful in those situations. But the fact that he was a truck driver who traveled long distances, potentially interstate travel, you have to ask the question, has he done this before? Has he done this in other places? Is this a habit of his to conduct himself this way when he's on the road? And those are serious questions. So how many other victims are out there? And I'm guessing, Jack, that like so many of these other guys, in spite of what they say, that this is their first time, it's not their first time. And so you have to wonder if there are other victims out there, and you know that by arresting these guys and prosecuting them, you're preventing other people from becoming victims. And that's one of the big reasons behind these stings.
So this guy here is, he drove from Sault Ste. Marie all the way
correct.
Over here to Marquette. So, you know, kind of go over this without giving away the punchline, if you will, this episode.
Well, you've got a guy who I mentioned was 68 years old, and it was a very graphic chat. There was no question as to what he wanted from this 15-year-old girl or this decoy posing as a 15-year-old girl, and he got in his car and drove a very long distance to make this sexual liaison happen. So he was determined. The conversation was just not, you know, a two-line thing. It was thought out. He weighed the risks, and he showed up. And he, you know, he's 68, and he was moving, big guy, moving a little slowly, and got to the door and talked about taking some of his clothes off and, you know, was ready to have sex with this decoy. And the decoy meets him at the door, and again, you know, and we've seen this in some of the other episodes, you see this play out in real time. You see the alleged predator arrive. He's greeted at the door by the decoy, who looks to be an underage girl or boy, and there's a sense of excitement that this fantasy is going to be fulfilled. And he walks in very comfortably because now he sees it's a real child. He sees there's an opportunity to exploit this child, and he sits right down. Now, we handle this one a little differently because, you know, he's got a backpack, and I'm thinking, you know, and the sheriff's deputies and detectives are making sure that, you know, he does not have a gun in the backpack, so they handcuff him a little earlier in the process than, you know, some of the other cases. But that's for safety, and that's important. And you'll see in this episode, you know, how I question him and how his story slowly falls apart. And then, and this is a first, not only in the Marquette investigation, but in other investigations, as far as I can remember, he actually offers me money to buy his way out of this situation. And I say to him, I said, I don't want your money. I want the truth. And it's a very compelling moment, as our viewers will see.
Wow. That's, well, and we will see how that all plays out then. Last question, Chris, is you mentioned the Jordan DeMay case. We need to maybe tease it a little bit and let people know that
sure.
You do have a program coming up about him, and that really struck a real nerve up here.
Oh, yeah.
Just
boy,
how
boy.
Popular he is, and I say is, not was, because I
yeah.
know him.
Well, his legacy lives on, and through his parents and his the rest of his family, his siblings. Wonderful child who was victimized by predators a half a world away in West Africa, in Nigeria. And thankfully, and for the first time ever that I'm aware, these guys are being brought to justice, have been extradited to the United States. So Jordan DeMay's story will be a large part of a bigger documentary series that we're working on at True Blue on sextortion. And we are not only going to do the series there, it will appear you know, on another network platform, and we're working on that right now. And then, on top of that, we're going to produce a version for high schools across the country that we're going to give free to show to high school students, you know, to create awareness and to continue this dialogue. No kid should ever have to commit suicide or feel that they have to commit suicide because of some predators half a world away. And they know that these kids are vulnerable, the predators do, and they know that they can get money from them. And although it's not a lot of money in each individual case, there are a lot of cases, and we don't even know, Jack, how many there are. So this is a passion project for me and my network, and we will stay in touch on this, and we will have the project done before too long, probably in the next month or month and a half, I hope.
Okay, Chris Hansen, once again from True Blue Media, thanks for taking time out and previewing the final in the series, I believe, of episodes of that from that operation in Marquette County.
Well, thank you, Jack, and thank you everyone in Northern Michigan for watching and for checking out True Blue, and I appreciate it very much, and just I want to promise you there's much more to come.